Welcome everyone to UA Local 412's 411 podcast. And it is, if you didn't know, election season. It's all around us. And we have to understand something. Your local is working very hard and tirelessly to be represented in the state, nationally, internationally, and they're always hustling. I'm joined here today by Miss Joan.
Hello.
And Mr. John. How are you, sir?
Doing well.
And John, introduce you. We just walked into each other, met in an elevator. you have 15 seconds to let me know your origin story.
Oh, wow, no pressure there. John Lipschutz, I am the lobbyist for the New Mexico Federation of Labor. I also serve as a political consultant for that same body. Just to give a little background, the New Mexico Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO, it is the state entity of the national AFL-CIO. So here in the state, I think we have, I want to say it's around 40 or so union affiliates that belong to the state federation, representing both the private and public sector. And I work for all of you, all of them, to help win elections and get good policies passed.
Joan, I know you go to Santa Fe, but not as much as this gentleman to my left here does. Explain to me and to the members on their drive to work today why UA Local 412 even needs a lobbyist.
So UA Local 412, like, I'm the political affairs director. I'm not necessarily a registered lobbyist. But the importance of what John does for the New Mexico State Fed as a registered lobbyist and represents, I mean, I think one year we gave him 63 pieces of legislation from all the different affiliates. John lives in Santa Fe for the 30 or 60 days. I primarily will focus on the legislation that we developed here at Local 412. But then we have this second piece, the backup, and the really strong power of the New Mexico State Fed when we hand it over to John here through the processes that that happen at the union table and the legislative table through the New Mexico State Fed.
John, can you give us some examples of some of the topics that come up that of all of the 64?
There were 63 pieces that 63. We handed John.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us some examples of what issues you're talking about up there?
Sure. That one session was such a whirlwind. I barely remember it, but it was a rough one. As I said, I represent both public and private sector unions up there. So we deal with a whole range of things. But for instance, certain issues that might matter most to your members here, one of the most memorable battles that I was engaged in, we were all engaged in, I want to say it was maybe 2015, 2016, somewhere around there, there was an effort mostly led by anti-union representatives to allow local communities to preempt state law and enact their own form of right-to-work legislation. Right-to-work, for those of you who probably follow this, is not allowed in the state. We are a non-right-to-work state, which is great. However, there was an effort that I think started in Sandoval County to allow the local authority there, the county commission, to enact their own right-to-work laws. And we fought very hard to stop it on the county level, and unfortunately, we were not able to. But what we were able to do is have the state legislature step in and say that local municipalities cannot preempt the state on these on issues like this. And that was one of the more memorable battles that I was engaged in. But as I said, again, for things that matter to your members, I've been part of helping fight for additional funding for apprenticeship programs. I've been a part of trying to reform our procurement code so that we look at other factors aside from lowest bids to actually award contracts. I have been engaged in really any number of fights, including workers' comp issues, anything that deals with more fair treatment for workers. Y'all pretty much see me there right in the middle of it.
So, yeah. So sorry, that particular session, I mean, there was two-man crew bill, you know, so we were there. And so some of the things that happens is when at that table, we decide that the New Mexico State Fed is going to support certain legislation, is I won't just go lobby our legislation, but I'll pick up some of those pieces and I'll go testify for other unions. So there was like two-man crew bill. And the other thing I want to say is, like, with the state Fed having both public and private unions, the public unions are already dealing with right to work because of the Janus decision. But they stood alongside us as the private sector unions to help us fight right to work, where it doesn't affect them either way. They're already dealing with it, but they stood up for us.
Now, I'm going to play the role of the normal person driving on the road right now, a lobbyist. Boots on the ground in Santa Fe. Take me one step back here. How are you effective in Santa Fe with that?
Well, isn't that a good question?
Someone's driving going, what the hell is a lobbyist?
You know, it is actually a very good question to ask. And very hard to define, I will say. You know, I'll be the first to tell you. So there's a few things that people who know me up in Santa Fe, one, I'm probably considered the reluctant lobbyist.
Do they walk the other way when you walk?
They do not, thankfully. Weirdly enough, it is not my top passion is not lobbying. I prefer more the political side of things. But what I can tell you, the trick to lobbying, like so many things in our world, it's about relationship building. Mm-hmm. That is really the number one issue. You know, there has to be a mutual respect between legislators and lobbyists, legislative staff and lobbyists. It's a delicate balance where, you know, legislators are doing their very best to try to represent the people that they represent. They're trying to figure out the best policies for their constituents. And I view lobbyists as a resource. That's really how I view us. You know, everybody has their different technique. My role up there, obviously I'm advocating for labor. I'm advocating for the UA. I'm advocating for all my other unions. But I will never lie to a legislator in order to get our way. I am here as a resource. If there are issues that I'm advocating for that I see potential problems with it, I will let them know. I will try to be as honest of a broker in this process as possible, because at the end of the day, it's the trust that makes things happen up there. And if legislators can't trust the sources that they're hearing from, then what good are we? So again, my job is to use the relationships that I have with legislators, but to, again, just be a resource for them, to tell them honestly what we're trying to fight for and why I think it's best for their constituents.
Well, I know that we have a political team here, and before I get to the why and where we're going next, because I don't know if you want to announce every move you guys are going to make, but I think it's important to let some things know that the membership is knowing this is what they're going up there to fight for. But can you give us a couple wins that you guys have had in your time for the 412?
For 412, legislatively?
Sure.
I mean, politically, I'll say we've had a great track record in this state. I will say that, you know, I don't know our stats offhand, but the races politically that 412 gets involved in, and they tend to mirror the larger state fed slate of candidates as well. We have had some tremendous success in electing some good pro-labor legislative candidates. do they always stay good? That's a whole nother issue, and that's something we could talk about later. But certainly at the time, if I had to guess offhand, I would say, I mean, we've probably elected over 90% of races that we get involved in are successful. We just have a really good track record with that.
Yeah, and I think, so, you know, I've been here for 3 years. I did political stuff, advocacy stuff before this. But in talking to our members, so we talked about legislation. Now we're kind of talking about the politics, the campaigns, the election side. And it's all part of building power. So you have elections. You have the legislative side. That's what they do once they're elected. And then after that, what is there? There's accountability. Where does accountability happen? Accountability happens again in the election cycle. And accountability is a very, very important part to what we do and what helps us build that political power that John's able to go and I'm able to go and pass a $30 million trust fund for registered apprenticeship and other things. I mean, it's, you know, we're talking about 412 priorities, but he deals with, you know, 40 labor, unions, right. Labor priorities.
And I just want to chime in to what Joan said. I 100% agree. And just to focus on that accountability function, because I think at least I would want your members to know. I mean, they would hear what I first said, which is we've been so successful in our elections. And Joan and I have talked about some victories. But the honest truth is that you could be successful in electing certain folks, and then something happens along the way where they might slide away from what we elected them to do. And so that accountability function is so important. We've got to we can't just elect people and then, you know, stop communicating with them. We have to constantly be talking to them. We have to hold them accountable for the decisions they make so that, you know, they know that we're not always going to just be a rubber stamp to constantly getting them elected. We need to hold them accountable.
For labor.
Right. Absolutely.
And I appreciate that because you want to look backwards and recognize what has happened. But again, it's all so much you hear is what's the next move? What is the next move that is on the agenda of 412 and in Santa Fe for us? If you can, whatever you'd like to, I don't know if you want to show all your cards, but you know what we can get behind and what we can expect coming in because we do have a giant election. And November 5th, is it?
Yes, it's November 5th. So, I mean, when we, like, look, political party aside, the divisive issues aside, when we talk about labor, when we talk about the paychecks of our members, we have to look at, okay, let's go from federal, because John and I cover federal, state, and then municipal. So let's start at the federal level. At the federal level, how many members do we have out at Intel? That work is only going to grow because of the CHIPS and Science Act, which was passed at the federal level. And at the federal level, it required project labor agreements, it required Davis-Bacon wages, and it required registered apprenticeship. That being written into the national level narrative, is why we have so many members out at Intel to work right now and why we're going to end up having more. That's how politics ties directly to their job. The Inflation Reduction Act, which is not yet, we haven't started to see the impact of that yet, but it's coming and we're preparing for it. If the wrong person gets elected, they have vowed to overturn the Inflation Reduction Act, to stop funding it. And those are thousands of man hours for our members that are getting ready to come down the pike. They're very important things. So we want to see the labor-friendly president, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, get elected. And then we need to protect Congress, which is Martin Heinrich in the Senate. Martin Heinrich has done so much for this local. All that equipment that's going up into Espanola, that was congressionally given to us and written into the federal budget by Martin Heinrich. So we need to keep him in office, and we need to keep our three congressional House people in office. And then we go down into the state level.
And I'd also want to throw this out there to the membership right now. If you follow UA Local 412 on social media, all platforms, we will have an endorsements list for you that the team here has researched and passionately conversated about to find out the best candidates for our union. So that will be available online for you. If you don't know every last name, it's a little cheat sheet that you can take into the ballot before you vote. It might not, you can take it in there, right? Mm. Yeah, there you go. So you know that the team here, I was going to say we, but this is all you guys. You guys did all the research and all the communications to get the right candidates that you believe are going to be labor friendly. So that will be available for you guys as well. Moving forward as well, I know we spoke on the why. What else is coming up, Joan, that you'd like to let?
You know, this coming session is, there's going to be stuff. There's going to be important stuff. We only got $30 million for the trust fund. We need to get another 10 this year and another 10 next year to get it to the $50 million threshold. That was our original goal. You know, but that's part of politics is the negotiation. We got the trust fund set up. We negotiated it to have a little less, but we have to keep pushing to keep for the survival of that fund. That's probably going to be our number one priority. We'll have a few other things that'll happen that'll come out. I mean, right now we are head deep into the election. I mean, today starts early voting. And we are headlong deep into getting those people elected, because if we don't get the individuals elected that we need elected, the legislation doesn't matter.
Right. So moving forward, is there anything that you would like to pass along to the membership, either one of you folks, that they can do to or be aware of or asked upon? Because right now they could be just driving to their job site. And they know that there's people fighting for them and aware of them in the state and federal level for us. Is there anything else that, hey guys, this is what we're doing for you guys. Just be aware of this, because we might call. Because again, we're only as strong as the numbers that we have. That's what a union is. Why those candidates want our vote and our support is because we swing a big bat. And all labor in the state of New Mexico, when unionized, really, can really decide the politics of our state and our government. So is there anything else you guys would like to let the membership know?
Sure. You know, again, working with, I think we have about 40,000 members that belong to the state Fed at this point, somewhere in that area. Basically, just as you said, you know, we're so much stronger when we're united. It's the many hands, you know, one action kind of philosophy. You know, as was stated, I kind of see this thing through. I start on the political side, helping get folks elected. Then I go to the legislative side. And I can say that I cannot do nearly as much good work lobbying if we do not get the right people elected. That is just a simple fact. And I would also say that politics nowadays, this is a participatory sport. This is not really the type of game that you sit back and you just watch on your couch. This is the type of game that, you know, we need you to kind of get onto the field and get a little bit involved. And that could be anything from, you know, being an active participant and going out and knocking on doors, making phone calls, talking to neighbors, doing that kind of work, to something more passive of just making sure your family gets out and votes. Right. You know, again, we have around 40,000 members that we represent, but when you include all their family members and their close friends, that all of a sudden gets to be a much bigger number even. So, I mean, my big advice to everyone is, yeah, I guess get up off the couch. Let's get out there. Let's try to proactively win some stuff.
That was going to be my biggest thing now. When I was watching TV, I see bombardment of our candidates getting and everything else. It's like people right now, I think the biggest move is to go vote. If you're still on the fence in a few weeks out of the election and you don't know which candidate you're going to vote for, okay. There are some resources you can look up on the social medias. We have been putting candidates' names if you would like to learn more about them. If you're on the fence about going full ticket with the local, please look into the candidate, learn a little bit more about them. Their names are on there, their social, their websites. If that helps to get you off the fence, because they have been checked out and approved, and hence the stamp of endorsement from UA Local 412. And if you go the other way, again, just we can't complain when things don't happen our way in the next 4 years or so. Oh, man, because we didn't vote together. And that's the biggest thing. I'm not telling anyone how to vote, but more importantly, go out and vote and tell others to go do so. I think that's a big message, especially in the date that we're on right now.
Yeah. And again, like, vote for those union-friendly candidates. And that's, you know, that's why I asked John to come here today, because when I walk in the room, I carry the voice of 2,000 members. But when John walks in the room, he's carrying the voice of 40,000 union members.
That's big energy. John, you must walk in the room. You walk in the room with some energy. 40,000 person energy.
I use it. It carries me through the day once or twice. Yeah.
And so, you know, and I like to tell our members, like vote your paycheck. I go to the round table so that you can serve food on your kitchen table. It's very, very important to really look at the way that these things impact you, and just understand that when Local 412 is endorsing a candidate, we are doing it because of the way that they have voted. We're doing it because of things and their values that are going to align with how we're going to keep prevailing wage, how we are going to keep registered apprenticeship strong, how we're going to keep labor and our union strong. And so I just ask our members to trust us, to trust our endorsement, and get out there and vote for those approved candidates.
Thank you, Ms. Joan. John, any parting words here for you? You represent so many people. You're communicating to them. Do you like to be reached out to at all?
I mean, I'm a resource, much like Joan is for 412. That's what I am for the labor movement.
I believe so. I've seen you at every labor picnic event and Saturday there are.
Well,
so that's.
In all fairness, I do that mostly because of the food, but the company is always great as well. And yeah, no, I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone has. I think my email address is out there quite a bit, so folks could always feel free to contact me. And also just to let folks know that we have a really great team at the State Fed that is working very hard to represent all union members across the state. And our President Ashley Long and Secretary Treasurer Mark Strand, our leadership team is doing really great work to represent all of us. So I work for them, I work for you, and please use me as a resource however you can.
Joan had brought up something that we need to set up by the start of the next year is a Q&A. So when we are talking to court or we are talking to our lobbyists or political representatives, we need to pass on your messages to them so it's not just us. So we'll be setting that up here at the hall, and we'll channel it through our social platforms as well, because we really, in the new year, really want to get this podcast going to where you guys feel like you have a voice, and you do, but you can be heard. Like John Smith's asked, John, what the hell with this? And we can really ask those questions because this is a podcast. I believe that that's something that we really need to go on, because you guys need to be heard. We need to be heard as a local and as a whole labor movement in general. And again, November 5th is probably one of the biggest ways to do so. Am I off on that one?
You are not off. I mean, final election day is November 5th.
Well, and So you have multiple chances to vote before Election Day.
Yeah, that day is going to be a little chaotic. And if you can beat the line in any way possible, why not? We'll try to build some resources and remind our membership when you open your phones 15 times a day that it is early voting time and that maybe some locations that you can do, because again, that is the biggest swing that we can make as a local. Joan, last thoughts, remarks?
Yeah, just the political work that we do is really, really important. It's important for our overall existence. And I don't think that everybody really understands unions are inherently political. They always have been. And without being political, we would have never been recognized as a legal and entity to begin with. We would have just been rebels, radicals, you know, whatever, you know, back before unions had good, strong clarity. I mean, people who were fighting for workers' rights were just considered a communist and labeled that way. And so we fought political battles to exist. And we continue to fight those political battles every day, because the minute somebody in policy who's anti-union gets a chance to take us down, they will.
Yeah, so when you see social media feeds with a bunch of political faces, just realize there's a purpose behind that. And that is because a lot of other people really believe in that person to get the job done for us. So again, thank you, Joan. Thank you, John. I appreciate your guys' time. Let me give you guys a couple updates on what's coming down for your local right now. Union meetings, second Friday of every month, the same night, apprenticeship council is happening. So that's October 11th and November 8th. You can follow social media for those. Check by your hall. Please be active. If you make one of those a quarter, great. But don't be stay at home and complain about your local. You can sit in and you can appear and have your voice heard at every monthly meeting. Also coming up November 14th, we have a Topgolf event, a membership and appreciation night. That's exciting. More on that in the future podcast. We also have apprenticeship council meeting. That's the same night as our union meeting. So just take note, the second Friday of every month. We also have 412 day coming up. That's in April. That's, don't want to go too far ahead. And most importantly on that calendar, if you haven't noticed by living in the grid, Election Day is November 5th. Please come on out and vote wherever you can. And we will have some resources and some suggestions for the labor movement, what we believe is the best choice. When I say we, I mean you guys. You guys, again, you guys do all the hard work. John, thank you for everything you do for the membership in Santa Fe here year-round. Joan, I don't know how many hats you have on, hard hats, political hats. It's amazing. You never cease to amaze me at how much you're doing around here. So thank you guys for your time. This is another podcast of your local, the 411 podcast. I'm Julian Mendez. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you again shortly. Go out and vote.
It's the 412-411.